Welcome to Manifestation Lizified, your weekly dose of inspiration. This podcast is rooted in the belief that a positive mindset can improve every aspect of your life, from work to relationships to your overall well-being. By changing the way you interact with the world and approaching it from a positive place, you will manifest a fulfilled life of your creation. All right, everyone. I am so excited to have relationship coach Giovanna Capoza back on the show. She's back by popular demand. And if you haven't checked out my previous interview with her, stop. Seriously, stop right now. Now and go check it out. It's episode 6 of the podcast. And we focused on dating and combating limiting beliefs. So Giovanna, thank you again for joining me to talk about dating during quarantine. I think this is still a very important topic, even though we're all social distancing.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be a great topic when you approached me with it, because people are still online dating. In fact, online dating websites have reported a surge in people on their sites. So there's still a need to connect, of course, during this time that we're physically distant from each other. And they've just reported a lot of people on there. So when you approached me with the topic, I thought this is super fun.
Yes, I'm so happy you agreed to join me again. And I mean, a lot of my friends, everyone, were talking about how the world seems to be on pause. So a lot of my friends have been talking to me like, should our dating lives be on pause too? Any thoughts on that?
Well, here's the thing. If you are right now managing trauma, and we are all going through a collective trauma, right? So what I mean by trauma is if you're having any types of like survival fears, which I would say most of us are at some point, right? Like even myself, with all the tools that I have and all the stuff that I know, I've been on the roller coaster ride with the rest of the globe, right? So if you're stuck in that and you're feeling fear most of the time, then I would probably say it's not a good idea to use something like online dating as a distraction, because just the same way, you know, a lot of us are using food as a distraction, or we're trying to use all these things to distract ourselves. Really, it's an opportunity right now to actually deal with what's happening, like what is happening currently with you. So I would say it's a great idea to do online dating if you are generally in a state of mind where you're not using it to compensate for something. And that's going to kind of sound maybe petty for a lot of people, thinking like, well, who cares? Like, you know, I'm having cupcakes once a day. Like, I don't care. I'm dealing with this trauma the best way I can. And online dating might be a way of doing it. But the reason that I caution that is because, as you know, from the previous conversation that we had, I deal a lot in sort of what I would call lovesick, which is love addiction, and people really using relationships in a way that is toxic, in a way that is to fill them up. And generally those relationships don't really go well, they don't go in the right direction. So in other words, if you're dating someone right now, it's just kind of filler food. I call it cupcake dating. We get to the end of this, because there will be an end of this. You might just find that you've set up the relationship on sort of rocky ground. Does that make sense?
Yes, it makes total sense. And actually, that's a really great point, because it brings me to my next question. So a lot of the dating apps, and I know you said that a lot of them have had a surge in the people participating. I've noticed ones that I've hopped onto, like Bumble and Hinge, are really encouraging people to take their dates virtual with Zoom. So it's like there's no holdup, right? Bumble even right. has its own video feature. It's like, okay, let's do that. And so I feel like when you're taking the physicality out of the equation, there is no option to have sex on the first date or take it to another place. So if you are choosing to invest your time in talking to these people or whatever it might be, I was wondering if you felt that maybe we're going to come out of this with a lot more meaningful connections if we're going into it with the right mindset than the cupcake theory you mentioned. So do you think that we're going to come out of this with more meaningful connections?
I absolutely love this question, because yes, there's a potential that we are. And the reason is because we can't, have that physical space where, you know, sometimes the guy or the gal's cute, right? And you have sex on the first date and that's not what you planned and that's not what you wanted to do, but that does fuzzy the waters, right? That does muddle things. Sometimes we don't get into deep enough inquiry with our potential partners, and that muddies the waters. So the fact that we're being forced right now to do the video chats and really get to know each other, I think there's a definite potential of that. The caveat here is to, again, to use that time well, right? So you want to be, you know, asking deep questions. You want to see if that person shares your same values. Like, really, it's interesting. When I heard the question, I loved it and simultaneously was like, well, nothing should change. The only thing that does change is that, yes, you don't have the temptation, like you said, of muddying the waters with sex too soon. And that sort of physical, you know, any kind of hormones that rage in that physical space. That still happens online. I don't know if you've ever had a long distance relationship. I have. You can still definitely feel all the feels across a computer screen, but that all depends on your level of connectivity. And so I would say, you know, the same rules apply. And yes, absolutely, there's a chance for us to come out of this with more deep, meaningful conversations if we're willing to go there. Because as you know, you can choose to have superficial conversation in person, you can have superficial conversation by text, and you could definitely do it over video conferencing. So it's still really the same rules apply in terms of, you know, asking those deep questions, seeing if the person shares your values, really trying to discern whether or not you're on the same page with a lot of the ways that you want to share and live your life.
That's great. You basically answered my next question, because I was wondering if the rules of dating had actually changed, if they've remained the same. But it sounds like to me that you're basically saying nothing's really changed. I mean, yes, it's a computer screen. Yes, we're talking to them on video chat. But if we want to be superficial, it'll be superficial. If we want to have a meaningful connection, then it'll be a meaningful connection.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, definitely the difference, I mean, not being in the same physical space is a huge difference. But what I mean by nothing changes is like your communication and your level of communication and your depth of connection. It should be still going in the same direction. And in fact, what I have found, having, you know, both done a long distance dating where it was just over like video, Skype, Zoom chat, and also been on online dating, I found with my current boyfriend right now, actually, I met him on Bumble. And we talked for about a month before we even met. And that doesn't usually happen. A lot of times people go into these online dating spaces, and I used to do this too. It's like, let's just meet right away. Just rule each other in or out right away and just figure it out. But actually, because of circumstance, we had to wait a whole month and just have conversation. And that actually did add to things. And with the video chat relationship I had many, many, many years ago, there is a way in that medium that you can still connect really deeply with someone. So it really is just all about your conversation and setting a foundation. Just imagine connecting with someone that you really, really like, who is, you know, you're both in it together. So this is another way that we're going to really start to cultivate deep intimacy during these times, or its potential that we could, because we're all going through the same thing. So if you meet a guy or gal, whoever you are listening to this, if you meet them online, you're both going through the same thing, and you're able to somehow, you know, show up, be authentic, support each other in that somewhat, but also just really share and really reveal. Again, it's all about how comfortable you are with your own vulnerability. And if the person's also comfortable being vulnerable, which PS, when you're not face-to-face, is a little easier. So again, yeah, I think this is going to be a lot, potentially could foster a lot more depth in relationships, because think about when you finally meet that person, it's going to be extra special because you've already shared so much together and now you're meeting in person.
Totally, totally. All right. So let's get down to the nitty gritty. I'm curious. I really want your tips for dating during quarantine. You know, what should we be doing if we actually decide to go on a virtual date? Is it a movie together? Is it a drink? Is it a coffee? You know, how should we be getting to know these individuals? Like, what are the things to ask? And when quarantine finally does end, how should we approach these digital relationships in the real world? Because I have a feeling, to your point, if we put in the effort, we're going to be cultivating these meaningful relationships, and then it's, but they've only lived in this digital space. So then it's, what's the next step in terms of finally when we're able to see, meet, and talk to each other face to face, if you will?
Yeah, that's a big, huge, juicy question. Okay. So let me try and break it down based on what I heard. You could totally interject and ask me more questions. But so, you know, I think in terms of how we show up again, nothing changes. You want to show up completely yourself, comfortable in your own skin, and really, you know, not trying to prove anything. Now, the benefits is that when we're video conferencing with someone, you know, it takes a little bit of the nervousness out of it. Not totally, but it takes a little bit out of it. You know, get dressed up. I know a lot of us are hanging out in our pajamas. I was listening to a friend of mine the other day. She wrote a blog post actually on how she has started, like, after the first few weeks of, you know, her quarantine and just being home all the time and being in her pajamas, she's actually started to, like, get herself on a schedule where she works out a certain time, she takes a shower, gets dressed, and, like, gets dressed as if she's going into the office. Like, she'll get dressed for a few hours because that's what makes her feel normal. You know, I would say put some effort in. Just because you're online dating, just because it's video conferencing, it doesn't mean you don't have to put any effort on. If you don't want to put any pants on, don't put any pants on. No, just wear a nice shirt. But, you know, make some kind of effort. And look, you don't have to do that all the time, because I am a big, huge believer of keeping things real, right? Ultimately, we want to cultivate a deep friendship with whoever our partner is going to be. So you want them to see the real you as well. So, you know, it's not about putting on airs or facades, but, you know, maybe if you guys are talking, maybe it starts off by text, excuse me, and you know that the texting is kind of, you know, kind of nice, kind of going somewhere. Maybe the person's really funny and you want to take it to video. Then fantastic. Take it to video. Do your hair. Get out of your pajamas, right? It's a first date. Like, it would be really great if both people made an effort for the first date, just like you would if you were having an actual first date, right? So that's part of the equation. I would say what to look for is the same things, right? You want to ask questions to see if the person aligns with your values. One of the most important values, and this is like any kind of relationship, this is friendship or, you know, dating or whatnot. One of the most important values that you want to look out for is if this person has a growth mindset, meaning are they willing to grow with you? If a problem occurs, are they just the get up and take off person? Do they want to work things out? You know, ask some questions about, you know, their past relationships. A lot of times people are like, no, 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 never talk about your past relationships. Actually, that's where we can see a lot about the person that's in front of us, right? We can see maybe how they handle things. Now, also the way they represent their past relationship is very indicative, right? So if someone starts talking about their past relationship and it's all about blaming the other person, it's all about how they've been hard done by, you know, depending on the situation, of course, that's interesting, right? Like, what's that all about? Like, that'd be interesting to find out more about, because, you know, does that person take personal responsibility for what's going on with them? Did they take personal responsibility for how their relationships ended in the past? So that might be an area of conversation. Again, maybe not right on the first conversation, but eventually you might want to just kind of ask questions like that. Eventually you do get to a point in any relationship where you talk about your past. So when it's appropriate to do so, you just kind of want to ask those questions. And regarding the growth mindset, you want to also see, like, how do they deal with conflict? One of the things that I think is really, really important, whether you're dating male or female, find out if they're able to have friendships with people of their own sex. You know, it's really interesting for me, and it's a personal red flag for me, when I hear or see of men that don't have or cannot have other relationships with men. That's interesting to me. You know, that little light goes off in my head. I say, like, what's going on here? How come you're not able to cultivate friendships with other men? What are the friendships like with the opposite sex as well? Same thing with women. When I hear women say, you know, I really have a hard time, you know, being friends with other women. That's interesting. Why is that? What's going on there? And it's not a place of judgment. It's not that something is wrong with them because they can't do that, but it's an interesting, for me, red flag. Because it tells me a little bit about how they, you know, handle themselves in other relationships. So you want to be asking those questions. You want to see how other relationships dynamics will reflect on yours, because they will. You know, how they hold their friendships very much will kind of reflect back on how they hold you. So that's a little bit of that. And again, you know, I mentioned this before, the values, you want to make sure that you have similar values, or that if you don't in certain areas, that they're not areas that are deal breakers, right? Some people have deal breakers around religion. Some people have deal breakers around sex. You know, you want to know, and you want to be clear what your deal breakers are, so that when you're having conversations, you're finding this out about your potential partner. And I would say conversation. So go into this as if you're having just a conversation with a brand new person that's potentially going to be a friend, take the whole dating, oh my God, this could be a romantic thing, out of it. I know if he's cute or she's cute, and you know, like, it could be a little nerve-wracking seeing that cute person on the other end of the phone. I trust you during this time of, you know, global quarantine. They probably don't look as cute as their profile picture. But if they do, I know it could be nerve-wracking, but just go into it really relaxed. Like, this is just a new person that's potentially a new friend that you're going to connect with. And that way it takes the stress out of this being a potential romantic person. And you can kind of ask the questions. Again, you're not going in to interview them and a barrage of questions, but just casual conversation back and forth. So that's that piece. And I think you asked about how to take it like offline once you've been online. Is that right?
Yes. Yes. Like, what do you do once these digital relationships, you know, we start in a digital space, yeah, and then quarantine is lifted, and then it's like, oh, now what? How do we see each other in our natural environment, if you will?
Yeah. And in our natural habitat, right? At the mall. yeah. I would say start slow, because here's what happens, can potentially happen when you're having a strictly online, you know, video relationship for a while, is there's a real potential for fantasy to start, right? And this is a part of our brain that just, you know, makes things all pretty and lovely and wonderful. And it's okay. It's okay for us to kind of go there and indulge once in a while, but we want to get into the reality of the situation, right? So I would say when you're taking it offline, start slow, right? Maybe you're not going to a fine dining restaurant right away and having, you know, a 5-course meal, right? Go to coffee, you know, just literally go to coffee, go for a walk in the park. Jeez, like, smell the fresh air. Do something really, really casual, because what happens sometimes when you are creating this virtual relationship is that the expectations get high sometimes. And again, fantasy, right? We start thinking of all the possibilities of what could be and what could happen and who this person is. And that's something we never want to do in any relationship. We never want to paint someone with our fantasies. We want to stay in real reality and listen to what they're telling you. I had a client recently say to me, you know, I'm just going to feel it out with this guy. I'm not sure where we're going. And this particular person had already said to her, you know, you deserve better than me. And that's a red flag, ladies. If a guy says that to you, believe him. So, but she was so caught up in what could be, and she was painting him with the fantasy brush, as I call it, that she couldn't really see. And I kept steering her back to listen to what he's actually saying. Keep the, be in reality with what is actually being said. And so often when we are just on video and it's just virtual, it's easy for us to get caught up in seeing what we want to see or hearing what we want to hear. So when you take it offline, take it slow, literally start from scratch, right? Like, go on that coffee date that you may have gone on if you didn't know this person from Adam. Really start to see, do I like this person in reality the same way I like them on video?
That's a really, really great point. I think, oh my God, just with a lot of my girlfriends, we've had conversations like that. Even in real life, even in the non-virtual space, I should say. I know, right? At this point, it's like in real life, in the non-virtual space, like, you find those moments where you kind of put the guy up on a pedestal, if you will, versus really understanding what he's actually saying. And more, I really find guys do actually, what they say is usually what they mean.
Yeah.
For the most part, it's like with girls, we say one thing and let's be honest, we're like, okay, now they need to interpret the fact and connect the dots and get here. And why the frick did they not understand and get that, you know? Whereas guys, it's usually like, yeah, I've had a rough day today. Oh my God, what's going on? What's in his head? No, really, he had a rough day today. That was it. They're really not that complicated sometimes.
Yeah, it's very true. It sounds very simplistic, but it is very true. And most of the times, the men that we're dating, you know, if you are dating men, they're going to tell you in pretty obvious ways and sometimes in not so obvious ways with their behavior, but they're really going to tell you how they feel and what their intentions are. And here's the thing, because there is such a basic, simple, you know, black and white style of interpretation and communication of things with men, like you just described, they're going to actually say to you, they're going to say to you and show you if they're into you. And if they're not, that's going to show as well. It's pretty easy. And I always say when a guy chooses you, he makes it obvious that he's chosen you. And you know, it's not ambiguous. It's not like, oh, does he? It's obvious. It's super, super obvious. It's super, super clear. There's no doubt in your mind that this person is choosing you. And if it's anything less than that, then it's not. And we really need to get okay with that as women, because we tend to look at them and paint the way we do things onto them. And they're very different.
Oh, I think that's one of the best points, honestly. And I think every girl and every girl woman is at a different stage in discovering this. You know, I remember some of my past relationships early on in life. We were like, but I think he likes me. You know, I mean, he'll call me, but then some days he doesn't call me. But then we had a really great date, or, you know, whatever it is. And you're kind of trying to push it into this like little box of, yeah, but he does like me. When in actuality, to your point, yeah, I mean, if a guy likes you, he likes you. If a guy is interested in you, he's going to call you. If he's interested in you, he's going to text with you. He's not going to give you the runaround on when he's going to see you next. It's going to be, oh, hey, I'm free next Wednesday. What's your schedule? You can't do Wednesday? Well, how about Friday? He'll come back to you with that. You know, I had a lot of girlfriends who would, they're like, you know, I still haven't heard from him. I asked him to go out Wednesday and he never got back to me about another day. And it's like, that's usually it's code for, okay, he's not feeling it. He's not that interested. And actually I'm going to bring this up into the virtual world now too. So hilariously enough, I was like, all right, let me give this virtual dating a go last week. I actually did my hair. I signed off work at a decent hour so that I could join at 7 o'clock. And guess what? I got stood up for my first virtual date. What do I think of
Wow.
that? Yes. Right? Think about that for a moment. I got stood up for my first virtual date. I heard from him later the next day or late into the evening. And he said, I'm so very sorry. I fell asleep. Okay. We're in quarantine, right? I sent him the Zoom link that morning. You could have responded to the Zoom link, like saying, hey, received, or, and then he responded again the next day. I still haven't responded. I'm actually kind of very much like, one strike and you're out. Yeah. In my opinion. Mm-hmm. And then I re-looked at his profile and I was like, he's not that cute. Not worth it to try again, in my opinion. So I made that decision. But I just feel like sometimes we make a lot of excuses. And I think the past me would have been like, oh, well, let me give him the benefit of the doubt. And again, I could be, you know, not overreacting, but taking it a little bit. Like, I could be nice and reach back out, but I just kind of don't feel like it. I'm talking to multiple other guys. Another one wants to meet up with me virtually at another time. Another one's like, let's take this conversation on text. Ooh, you know? So mm-hmm. I'm just like, okay, there's plenty of other ones that are putting forth the effort, so I might as well.
Yeah. And you could, I mean, really, the choice is yours, right? Yeah. You could give this, if I always say, if the person is showing genuine remorse and they are like making an effort over and above to try and like make up for it, then sure, give them another chance, see how it goes. But you're right. Like we're kind of all on lockdown. So what else are you doing in your day that you forgot, you know, that you had a date tonight? So how important was it to you? Right. And that's fair. A lot of people are worrying about a lot of other things right now. And so there might be with their mouths and intentions possibly saying, sure, I'm going to start internet dating. But when it comes right down to it, they fall asleep, or, you know, they're worried about their bills or something else is going on. So I would say, yeah, like, you know, if you're not feeling it and he's not making enough an effort to be remorseful, then yeah, next, right? There's a lot of other people out there. The last thing you want to do is stand up for being stood up during lockdown when most people are doing absolutely nothing. So I find people are also like filling their time right now with online meetings. And so we went from being like, we have to be socially distant, to then we changed that to be physically different because we want to still socialize. So now everybody's popping up with these online rooms to connect. And, you know, people are even in lockdown are overscheduling themselves. It's quite actually hilarious because we should not be necessarily doing that. But it's how people are coping. So yeah, you're right. It's very simple. They will show you. If they like you, they will show you. And even if they're shy and even if they have a hard time, they'll come around and they'll make it clear. And for the most part, that's how you will know. And we don't have to do any baiting or or waiting around, or, you know, like it's pretty black and white.
100%, 100%. I think the one last question that I was hoping you would address was, so I know you mentioned, get put on a nice shirt, maybe talk to them. You know, a lot of people are like, let's have a virtual, like friends that I've been talking to are like, let's have a virtual drink. How about a coffee? I've even seen like this thrown around on some dating stuff about trying to watch a movie together. Do you think that's even feasible in like, I'm like, what kind of activities do you do? It's like, yes, here, let's have a virtual drink. I've got my wine right next to me. Awesome. Oh, coffee. It's a morning little date. A movie. How do we watch a movie together? How does this work? And I feel like that's like a third, fourth date kind of move.
You know what? I'm a Gen Xer. I'm in my mid-40s. I don't know about the watching the movie together. Maybe that's what the younger kids are doing nowadays. I mean, personally, in a movie, you're not talking. I don't generally recommend movies for dates unless you've done already a couple of, you know, I'm going to call them talky dates, right? Where you're having conversation, because a movie is a great way to check out. It's a great way to feel comfortable if you're shy. But you check out in a movie, like for 2 hours, you're really not talking. And so I don't get the, how that works personally to be on a virtual date, watching a movie, unless you're going to talk through it, unless it's like a fun documentary, or I don't know how that works. I personally would stick to substantive, hangouts. So have a coffee, have a drink together, maybe make yourself a nice dinner. Maybe the other person can make themselves a nice dinner and you guys have dinner together. Something where you can have conversation and you can hang out with the person. This is why it's going to be so important how you transition this to an offline experience. Because when you take things offline, then you can go bowling, you can go play mini golf, you can, you know, go to an amusement park, you can go for a jog, you can go for a walk, you can do physical things together. So then you're starting to have fun together in a different way. But during this time where we can't do that, I think sticking to conversation is really great. And look, you don't have to get into like deep, meaningful conversation every single time you talk to this person. Like that's exhausting. So don't take what I'm saying in the wrong way. Like you could just be, you know, telling jokes one day, messing around, or sending them a fun message of something you saw. Literally approach this. This is why I tell people, don't put too much stock into the whole, oh my God, this could be a potential romantic connection. Keep it light. You know, if you met a new friend, this is what I used to say to myself when I used to meet people for blind dates when I was dating in the dating world. I used to say, you know what, if I felt myself getting nervous, I would say, you know what, I'm just going to meet a new friend. And if I was going to meet a new friend that I met and that someone introduced me to, I wouldn't be nervous right now. And I would be going in authentically me, and I wouldn't have to put on airs, and I would just be meeting a new friend. And that is how I would make the mental shift to not go into any date, virtual or otherwise, nervous or not myself. So I would caution and give the same advice during this time. And you know what? Maybe one of your dates is that you guys are, I don't know, hanging out and you're making dinner, right? So you have the laptop open or whatever it is that you use to access Zoom or Skype or whatever you're using. Have it open on your kitchen counter and like make dinner together, right? So you're still kind of doing a physical thing together, but you're doing it separately. And that's fun because you can be having conversations, you might drop stuff, you might make jokes, you might keep it light. Like not every single connection has to be this deep, like, so tell me about your childhood, right? Like it doesn't have to all be like that. So I want to emphasize that if people thought this was a little too deep for them earlier on in the conversation, keep it light, do fun things where you can actually have conversation. I don't know about the movie. I mean, I think if you've been talking for a long time, and you guys want to like watch a movie together, you can, but it's going to be the equivalent of how I used to watch a movie with my friends on the phone when I was a kid, which was I would just have them on the phone just so that they could catch the, oh my God, and oh, did you see that? And that's it. But mostly it was pretty silent the whole time. So, you know, maybe wait a little bit until you've run out of other ideas to do that, I would say.
Thank you. No, that's a really, really good point. I know I was reading that online as preparation before this episode, and I was kind of laughing about it because I was like, how does this work?
I saw that too, yeah.
Launched this new, you know, watch party thing, and I'm seeing Facebook doing the same, but I'm like, how does this work? Like, how are we truly like having a watch party, if you will?
Well, even if they did, even if there was a technology to have a watch party, right? What are you doing during a movie?
I know. Is it talking? Is it IMing each other? Is it?
No, you're just watching the movie. So I personally, I get annoyed if someone talks through a whole movie. So I don't want to watch a movie with you. Yeah, I mean, again, and the whole point of dating, offline or online, is to get to know the person, is to reveal yourself, is to be vulnerable. That's the point of dating, right? Revealing yourself, being vulnerable, getting to know the other person, creating intimacy, and seeing whether or not this is your, you know, person. That's the point of dating. So if you do activities that, you know, foster that, then great. But if you're just watching movies together, then, you know, I can watch a movie with my dog, and that's, you know, it's the same thing. It's the equivalent of the same thing. So I would say keep it to, you know, substantive activities, because again, if you're online dating just because you're bored and just to fill up time and space, or because you're in a trauma reaction, it's not necessarily the place to go for that. Because if you're using it for that, then maybe, yeah, those are the people that are just, you know, they need to feel or hear the person's breath on the other line while they're watching a movie. But again, I would ask yourself, like, what is the point of you being on there? And if you're the point of being on there is still to create meaningful connections, then great, be on there. But if you're just, again, cupcake dating, and, you know, using it as filler food, the same rules apply, whether it's offline or online. Check yourself. Like, why are you, because it's the equivalent of using, right? Why are you using this platform to fill yourself up? And, you know, it's interesting. And one last thing I'll say, there was a report that came out of New York several weeks ago, before things got really bad, where all of the animal shelters had been emptied. Basically, everybody went out and adopted a dog or a cat. And everyone was like, oh, this is so great, blah, blah, blah. And my first thought as an animal lover was, oh, geez, I really hope that when these people all go back to work, that they don't get rid of their animals again. Because people were doing that because they were feeling the loneliness of the solitude of being alone, some of them, and not having their family or not having someone to connect with. And it's a great sentiment if they choose to keep those pets. It's a wonderful sentiment, right? But what happens when they go back to work? What happens when real life sets back in again? And what happens to those animals? And that was my first thought. And so please approach dating the same way. So don't just be trying to fill a lonely, empty hole. And I would be saying this to you guys, even if there was no coronavirus, there was no worldwide lockdown, I would still say that to you. Don't go this way if you're just trying to fill a void, because that's usually when you make the wrong choice. You end up in a toxic situation. You get hurt. You really, really want to do the work on you and get the support on you and what's going on with you personally before you get into the dating world, online or offline.
I agree so much with this, because I do, you know, just friends. I mean, I think I've done it myself in years past, where you kind of get into it just to pass the time, and that's not fair. You wouldn't want to be treated that way, so you shouldn't treat anyone else that way. It's like the golden rule you learn in kindergarten,
right?
And it still applies even now, even here, even during a pandemic. And to your point in regards to the animals, I hope the same. I actually saw a similar article in another county that people had adopted all the animals in the shelter, and I think that is great. I'm big on adopting and rescue. But I really, really hope that means that they're keeping them. I loved my 20-pound cat in cargo because he couldn't fit. They wouldn't let him on board the plane to move up to New York. And then his brother, too. My younger brother also flew to Spain with his cat, is staying in Spain longer with the quarantine just to fly back with his cat, because obviously he's not leaving her. So it's like a whole complicated, you know, you always take your pets no matter what.
Yeah.
All right. Is there any last tidbit or nugget that you wanted to share?
No, I think that was it. I think that was just the most important point. We have a real opportunity right now to get in touch with all the feels, right? We don't, you know, the stigma of feeling whatever you're feeling is gone. it's gone because we're all feeling it. We're all, and it doesn't matter who you are. Like I teach this stuff and I've been telling my students, I have a weekly call every Friday. It's just a free connection meditation call. And I've been, you know, I just go there real and say, look, today was a shitty week and this is what I was feeling and this is what came up for me. Like we are all this virus, this, and this, the reaction to the virus, not the virus itself, the reaction to the virus, this global closing down and really shutting us all in is a real opportunity for us to really look at our stuff, but it's been the great equalizer of humanity, right? The richest of the rich might not have to worry about the bills, but they have other issues going on. They're worried about the stock market. They're worried about their health of their loved ones or themselves. Everyone has something to worry about here. And so it's been the great equalizer. And I would say use this time to really be okay with whatever it is that you're feeling. Be gentle and kind with yourself and be compassionate. And whatever you feel, it's totally okay. And just go forth and date happily. But do it wisely, as I always say.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. I think this was a great and helpful episode for everybody. So let's remind the listeners, where can they go to find you if they want to learn a little bit more about you?
They can find me at giovannacaposa.com. You'll see all of my past episodes of my own podcast that just completed actually a few weeks ago. So all of the episodes are there. There's a search bar to search for anything up on relationships or health and wellness or sex or whatever it is that might interest you. And you'll find any episode on that. And on Instagram, I'm always there, Giovanna_Caposa.
Perfect. Thank you. And guys, just a quick reminder, I know I mentioned it in the beginning, but if you really enjoyed today's episode, be sure to check out episode 6, where we talk about dating and combating limiting beliefs, where Giovanna joined me previously. It's a great episode. And if you like this one, I think you'll like that one too. Thanks all. Thank you guys so very much for listening. So if you enjoyed the podcast, please feel free to leave me a review. You can also find a few more doses of inspiration over at my Instagram @ManifestationLizified. All right, have an awesome, awesome day.